Hello and welcome to our latest podcast at Studio 525 here at Pleasure Beach Resort. Today we're looking back at the season and what a fantastic season it was. I mean, the weather was on our side, wasn't it? And we had so much to enjoy throughout the 2025 season. I'm joined by a cast of celebs. You know them. You know them well. Andy Highgate, we've got Nathan, and we've got Adam Slevin as well with us to look back on 2025. Maybe you were with us for part of the time during this summer. We hope that you were, and we hope that you had a fantastic time. Let's start with Andy Highgate first of all, then, who's basically in charge of everything.
What was said this last time. It's not quite true, actually. But yes.
Saint Certain Andy Highgate, in charge of everything.
Operationally,
then. Let's speak operationally, and how was 2025 for you?
It's been a really good year, actually, I think, overall. We've done loads of new stuff this year, which has been received quite well by people, and so it's always, aside from our sort of normal day job where we run the rides and hopefully run the park and all of that side of it, we've experimented a bit and been able to offer people some experiences that they haven't been able to do before, and I'm really proud of that.
What's been new this year then? What's made it special for you?
So for me, we did behind the scenes tours in a way that we hadn't done those before at the start of the season, when the park wasn't fully open, and we're repeating them in the winter, but to take people, sort of show people behind the curtain and show them what we do and what engineering does and all the different things involved in actually making the park run, and we also surprised people a bit because we kept it quite fast moving. We did some things that you'd expect. So we showed rides and underneath rides. It was so cool to get under Icon and show people what engineers would see in the maintenance bay and see under the trains and all of that aspect. So that was really cool. But then we showed them stuff that they might not necessarily expect, like in the wardrobe. Yes. And our amazing collection of yes. costumes that we've got on site.
So yeah. it was a real eye-opener for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was. And the reception to these was really, really good. So we've been doing them again, but yeah, I think it's cool for people to see that side of it.
Yeah, Adam, you mentioned the costumes. I mean, yes. There really is a wow, isn't there, about going into the costume department?
Absolutely, so, it's like opening the doors on this fantasy closet. And if, you know, when we've done the tours this year, I think when we go through the doors, is that the entrance is quite unassuming, and you walk through the doors, and then you know, we're talking costumes in the sort of 40,000 to 50,000 costumes, and people walk in, and when you tell them that just before, I don't think they quite comprehend the scale. And we walk through the door, yeah. And it's like, oh wow, there's every feather imaginable.
And how far back do these costumes go? Because I know we never chuck anything away here at Pleasure Beach.
No, we like to reuse, recycle, upcycle. We've got costumes definitely back to the 50s.
Really?
Still, yeah. But there's, to be honest, a lot of costumes we do repurpose into new costumes, yeah. Because we use really fantastic fabrics and a really talented team, so we're able to, the quality of the costume is so high, we're able to go again with them.
Certainly is a hallmark of, you know, every year at Hot Ice, the wow is in the yes. costumes, isn't it? As soon as the curtain goes up, the costumes are there.
Absolutely. And I think when we did the tour and we took people up to meet the wardrobe team, and they say it is a small team, and they see that, you know, when we do our big feather backpacks and hats and headdresses, that they really, each feather is really glued in individually, mm-hmm. and they're all stoned by hand, and it takes a lot of time, but they always look fantastic on the ice.
Bet you wear one at the weekend, don't you?
I absolutely do.
I thought so.
They're heavier than you think, though. The feathers, yeah, you think they're going to be, but they're not. They're, so, you know, props to the performers for
yeah,
doing
for
that.
Yeah, for making them not look heavy yes. when they are. They're relatively heavy, you know, especially when you're skating at high speed.
We've seen some fantastic days this year. One that stands out for me, certainly Launchpad, first day.
Oh, it was so...
That was an amazing day, wasn't it?
It was a great project to reimagine and a beloved ride here, but in a new way, and make it a sort of a different experience, and having the space theme, having the countdown, having all the drama around
yes,
it, and
right. the smoke and everything. Oh,
and you know, the guest reaction to it has been really, really positive. And I remember the first time I went back on it with all these changes, and just, you know, it's just a fab experience. I mean, yeah. the view view's always been great from that ride anyway, but to get that moment of airtime at the top and so on, I think, you know, it's you know, and also from a sustainability point of view, which is very sort of en vogue and whatever, quite rightly so, it was great to look at your rides and in a way how we'd done with Valhalla and represent a beloved ride in a way that to a lot of guests becomes like a new attraction.
It was fun to do it live on air. Nathan, what was your involvement then this season? What did you get stuck into?
I work for Andy in the operations side of the department as well. So for me, it's been, not to sound cheesy and corny, but it has been a roller coaster this year. Obviously, we delivered the behind the scene tours. We've done the walk behind, which is Valhalla, which were sellouts. We've done one at the start of the year and one just on Sunday gone. So they were two big highlights for us. It's just so something that we are willing to give the fans what they want, because a lot of fans have been asking for those. And we sat down with Adam and Andy and some of Adam's guys and produced this event, what sold out within minutes, and again sold out in minutes on the Sunday one.
And actually, people have been asking to do that for years and years and years, and I think it's been really cool that we've been able to do it in a way that's been so sort of well received, and for people to go in through the building, and everyone's been so sort of surprised at how big the building is actually when you get inside it and you're up on the gantries and so on. It's really cool.
Looking behind the scenes is certainly something that everybody loves to see, and I have to say that the journey to hell, having the chance to walk through the river caves, was just absolutely amazing.
Well, yeah,
you know, that's a ride that I remember from being a little lad here in Blackpool. But to actually find yourself walking in the trench on the way out.
Yes.
And then suddenly realising that is the entrance to the river caves.
Well,
that
was, you know,
it
was amazing.
What was great about that is that came, in a way, that came about because, you know, it's Tuesday and James and so on and Stageworks and a whole load of other people worked really, really hard to try and refresh and make Journey to Hell better every year. And we say scarier, and I think it actually genuinely does get scarier.
It was this year. I think it was scarier this year, definitely.
But that aspect came about because in previous years we've used the tunnels under the Wallace and Gromit and the River Caves as, you know, they're almost like purpose-built horror tunnels for our horror mates, which is brilliant for us. But obviously we've got a building site for the new ride where you used to exit. And so again, it's this thing about thinking differently about something. And, you know, they came up with the idea, well, what if we could put guests into the trough of the River Caves? Yeah. And then, you know, certainly from...
That's just really special.
I mean, when I walked through it the first time as a horror maze, you kind of forget that you're in the River Caves, really, because you're more concerned about people jumping out. But again, it really delivered a really, really cool, scary experience. And great.
That's why we've got to be... We have to do things differently to perhaps some of our, you know, inland parks, is we're not blessed with lots of green space, so we really do have to look at where we can fit things in, and sometimes, to be honest, that leads to more innovative outcomes.
Yes,
because you've got to find different ways of doing stuff and maybe challenge yourself to come up with something that will work practically
because we're quite landlocked, aren't we? Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Although we do have a new green space on the park, when obviously when we removed the Grand Prix, and we've said, you know, we're going through a transition period and so on, but to have a big that fountain, which was there before and you didn't necessarily know it was, but then surrounded by all the green land and so on, it's been, you've made a really nice sort of chill out area in the middle of the park, and it's been really good. For the other thing that I do want to mention is the dogs. Doggy Sunday has been a big success for us this year, because we came up with this idea of, well, wouldn't it be great if people could bring their dogs to the park, and there was, you know, there was some resonance at the start about it, and actually it proved to be the complete opposite, because what we've seen is many people treat their dog quite rightly as a member of their family, and they can come along and take part in the visit to an extent, and it's been really good on the Sunday. It's every Sunday, and it's been really good to see people walking around with all different shapes and sizes of dog on the park. So I think and that's quite, you know, again, that's not something that every park does, so I think that's been a good thing this year.
Looking back at the year, what have been the key learnings from a business perspective, and what sort of things have you taken on from 2025 for the future?
Well, again, I mean, Adam mentioned about being able to think outside the box and do things a bit differently. And a lot of the things that I mentioned about how the building site for Evictus had meant we'd done the journey to hell differently, actually meant that we did walk the big one, XL, differently, because we used to go up to one of the platforms on the front across the prom, and suddenly we thought, well, there's going to be an active building site there now, so we can't do that. So we looked at, well, can we take people in the maintenance bay of the big one, and then we took it a step further, can we take people through the tunnel at the end of the ride where you get your photos taken? And we worked out a way to do it, and so I think the overall learning would be, don't be afraid for us to try doing different things, because the guest response to that seems to be really appreciate that. And it's those sort of surprise elements that they might not expect, which
it's magic, isn't it, of being allowed somewhere you wouldn't normally be allowed.
It's different as well. We have the Walk the Buddy event, and that one we have three different walks that we deliver to guests, so the guests who are coming on the events don't know what walk they're going on until we decide on that night and that evening what we're going to participate them on, and that's quite thrilling for the guests as well.
Yes. Operationally then, it's all about teamwork, isn't it, and everybody's been mucking in together from all departments this summer.
Well, that's one of the great things, it always has been, but is one of the great things about Pleasure Beach, is having all these people from different specialist areas that have to work together to deliver. And Journey to Hell is a big example of that, because so many people from different departments are involved in delivering that event.
You dressed up this year?
I did. And I didn't do an interview, a radio interview.
That's right. Before you had your makeup on, you had a cloak, you sort of swept in majestically and swept out again.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah, the cloak itself this year came from Wardrobe. So again,
as you'd expect. It's just one big dressing up box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
But going what Andy was saying about working together, departments, Journey's held a very good example. But even on a day-to-day basis, I mean, what goes on behind the scenes, we have, meetings on a regular basis every week, sometimes daily, where all our departments have to integrate, because operations, engineering need to integrate, my department, PB Studios, that also needs to integrate, also like catering, retail. So it really is a sort of a combined show of everyone's efforts.
So how do you get everybody together? I take it there's teams meetings all over the place, are there, at the beginning of each week, or do you actually all pack together in one room?
And we do tend to do meetings in the flesh.
Yeah,
people seem to be more engaged and more open when we do meetings in person.
I agree there. I think there's more of a heart and soul to actually being there in person, especially in a creative environment like this.
I think it's easier to get things. So although we do, particularly with people that are based off-site for things, whether we're working with, a manufacturer or whatever, in those instances we do a mix. So we'll have certain key people in the room, but then we'll also have people using new technology. And I think we've kind of got used to working in that way, but there's nothing better than sitting down with people and actually thrashing out what it is that you're gonna do, because you can usually get an answer quite quickly.
Nathan, what's been the highlights for you this year? What have you enjoyed?
What I enjoy is the firework nights. We have three or four a year, and they're the ones that seem to be a crowd pleaser. You come in on your shift, there's a good atmosphere on park, the lights come on, and I feel like Pleasure Beach is Pleasure Beach when the lights come on. Yeah. There's no other theme park in the UK what looks like Pleasure Beach of a night time. And the crowds are at the end of the day, the fireworks are going. You can just see the joy in people's faces that they've had a good day with the finale of the fireworks. So that's a highlight for me when we do the firework experiences.
Good stuff, excellent. Highlights for you this year?
No, I agree with that. I've mentioned about fireworks before, haven't I? And I do think there are it's those summer nights, actually. There's no better place to be.
When the weather's right.
In an amusement park, and particularly, Pleasure Beach does, when it's all lit up, and which I have said before, but it has that magical quality to it. And I think, we're very lucky, really, to work in that environment and come to see it every day. People have asked me about sunsets here before, and you do. I mean, Blackpool and Pleasure Beach get some amazing sunsets, and I've seen loads of them. So that's that's something. But again, doing all of that whole range of events has been a really big highlight this year, I think, because it's always great to come up with an idea and then see it through to fruition, to the point where you get the feedback from the guest that's actually done it, and if they raving about it, then you've done a really great job, hopefully.
Pleasure Beach at night has always been special, hasn't it? There's a magic, isn't there, about it?
It's like an electric atmosphere.
It really is, isn't it?
The other bit is, actually, and Nathan mentioned it, and he's right, is that we do this thing called top decks, which is when we, I mean, it changes almost every day, particularly at this time of year, when you have to get it right, because you need to call top decks about 10 to 15 minutes before the light level gets too low. So then, and, you know, at this time of year, it's quite difficult. We always get caught out when the clocks change. But anyway, and then, but there's that magical quality when all the lights start coming on around the, you know, the things like the dipper with all its looks fantastic. And
I can even with lights on as well.
People really respond to that, don't they? Seeing the lights on the Icon train going around.
I think we take so much for granted when we live in Blackpool. If you're watching this from outside of the town, then that magic will be tangible. It really will. You know, where you just see the big one lit up and you think, wow, that's an only in Blackpool thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. As many as you say, when you know, sometimes we do take it for granted. We're not, you know, to us it's quite normal.
Yeah.
Still always trying to.
I suppose it's the same if you live in London, you don't go and see Buckingham Palace.
And I'm from London.
Well, there you are.
I only ever went once.
Oh, yes, you're a southerner, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I've got two highlights, if I may.
Yes,
just
please.
Just make me think. So earlier this year, it was really good to work with Aardman. Is we did some additions to our Wallace and Gromit Thrillomatic ride.
This was on the back of the film Last Christmas, wasn't it?
Engines Most Foul, yes, which was a superb film. So we started working with them about a year before that, and I was lucky enough, I'm going to show off now, but I was lucky enough to go down to the feature film studio where they were filming it, and it was amazing to see it in progress. But we had... It was a great working with Aardman. We had some really creative and quirky discussions about our additions. And it was a really fluid process. It wasn't too admin heavy. So, and we really went from sort of, this is what we want, to this is what we've got, quite quickly.
Yes.
And that was so enjoyable. And we have had good feedback from our guests. And
I love the nun.
Yeah.
We talked about the seal, didn't we?
Yes,
we were very keen for the seal in the armchair to be in the ride, and then you've obviously pushed that a bit with them, and they've been on board with it.
We had the figures carved, and then the seal's been fluffed here.
Yes.
Everything's been painted here, but they look so cute, and I do like keeping check on them all.
We just need armies of Norbots now marching down the path.
We've got some Norbots,
not quite an army, but you know, maybe one day. But you know, again, credit to Aardman, fantastic characters, which have a fantastic home.
Yeah.
And then the other one, the other highlight for me, which was not too dissimilar in terms of timing, was of course our hot ice.
Yes.
XS, as it was this year. That was a great experience for me, as I'm involved with the digital backdrop and sort of the visual aspect.
I think that's actually really made hot ice. The digital backdrop, because it has given a flexibility in staging that you couldn't have had before.
It's obviously, I mean, previous to that, cloth backdrops where you sort of, we got a lot of cloths and we have very talented people who can make them, but you can be less instinctive at that moment, whereas when we're doing something digitally, it just means, you know, if Mans thinks, well, actually this would be a great direction to take it, and we can try it, and if it doesn't work we can try something else. So
I think it really does help. I mean, the whole thing is magnificent anyway.
Yes.
The skating is the heart of everything. But where you've got a backdrop like that, I think is absolutely amazing. And you're making it do magical things all the time.
Yes, and I'm hoping, you know, it's not... I wouldn't want anyone to go and see the show and sort of pick out one specific thing. Hopefully it all works as one to sort of help emphasise the drama and give everyone a real spectacular show.
So that brings me to one of my final questions.
Oh, go on.
Go on, then. How do you balance... innovation like that with nostalgia and, you know, a traditional show like Hot Ice, as we've enjoyed for decades?
Absolutely.
Here at Pleasure Beach. So, you know, it's all about new stuff.
Yes.
Here at Pleasure Beach, it's always been about what is new. What are we saying that's new this year?
So in terms of sort of to talk about your balancing new versus sort of nostalgia, like at Hot Ice are good examples. We go into 90 years of Hot Ice next season. At its heart, skating's always been there, and it is still the world's only purpose-built ice theatre, and it's a really special venue. And it has always been, from a point it became known for feathers, we still have that. But in terms, you know, musically, we move it on. We talked about the digital backdrop, lighting, maybe the speed of the show is a lot faster than it used to be, the skating a bit more daring. And I just think, so we sort of have the core values that make it work, but we constantly push it along so it's relevant to an audience in 2025.
One thing I've always said about Hot Ice is, you know, it encompasses the fad of the moment, if you like, the trend of the moment, the style of the moment, yes, in its music. And then when you've done that, there's still the feathers at the end, isn't
absolutely
there?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I really like that Quixotic was in the show this year as well, as in the track came back. But in a fresh, modern way.
Yeah. Number we haven't done for a number of years.
So I guess that kind of, in a way, that answers your question, because you can cherry pick bits from the past and present them. And the, you know, Launchpad is an example of that. Mm. Valhalla is an example of that, and so on, where you can use something and turn it into something new and fresh and that excites your guests today. And I think, you know, Pleasure Beach is very good, hopefully, at doing that. And all of those things that we've talked about today, in some ways, are aspects of that. And we just need to keep going with good ideas and delivering for our guests. And I think that's what we do, hopefully.
Ideas at the heart of everything that goes on at Pleasure Beach, and has been for well over a century. And that's what people expect, isn't it? When we come to Blackpool, it's something new. Pleasure Beach is always in the vanguard of something new.
Yes.
That must excite you as well, that name.
It does, yeah. Obviously, we've got Evictus coming next year, which is going to be... going to be a good ride.
I've seen the artist impression. That was it. Yes.
That's something to look forward to next year.
It's right,
Mitadeta. It's going to be. I mean, it's great. The one thing Pleasure Beach does is we do things sometimes on scale.
Yeah, on a
big scale. And I think the fact that, you know, you'll be able to, this will clear the height of the big one, where it's located in the park, and so on. And you'll be able to see it from outside the park. Yes. I mean, you've seen the graphic of it.
The
and
graphic
it does.
Is
it just, you know,
scary.
It's going to be.
I mean, it's exciting that the skyline is going to change quickly, and I think that's for Blackpool as a whole. You know, when you look down the promenade and you see a new iconic structure,
and I think that we'll see a repeat of what happened when we built the big one, where somebody arrived with potted meat sandwiches and sat over the road and watched it.
There's already a little bit of that, and then obviously the great thing will be is I genuinely believe that this is going to be one of those rides that just really delivers. Everyone says that this style of ride is one of those, and so it's a really exciting reason to come to Pleasure Beach in 26.
So 26 is already in the bag then, really, isn't it? We've got Evictus coming, and the expectation of it arriving, the building of it this winter, you know, it's all ready to go, isn't it? 2026.
It's really exciting. People, part of the team here, we're all really excited, and we hope that that comes across and that our guests are going to be excited too.
Let's go. 2026 as well, we're celebrating 130 years, so that's another big landmark for us next year. So hopefully we'll have more celebrations like we did for the 2025 year. So
we love a good anniversary.
Oh, we do.
We do. We do.
But you say winter, obviously we're in winter now, and for us, actually, you know, behind the scenes, it's such a busy time. There's a lot going on.
Well, that was what I was going to round off with. Let's have a look at winter time and see what's going on. Adam, first of all, what are your priorities? What are you going to do?
So we've got a lot of, my department does a lot of refurbishment works on the rides. We look after train bodies on rides, paint work on the park, etc. So there's a lot that goes on that, you know, annoyingly sometimes people don't even see, but we have to do it. And then on top of that, everything people see. We have Evictus coming, and we'll start planning for Hot Ice for 2026, 90th year, and also so we're doing Cinderella this year. We've got a really fantastic cast, and hopefully a really good show. And you know, with Panto, it's great to, for a lot of kids, you know, we have a lot of school groups that come to visit, and for a lot of them that's their first time in a theatre. So we really try and make sure we give them everything we can from a theatre show. We give them aerial work, stunning lighting, rain that comes down from the ceiling.
I'm still astounded by the rain, you know.
Such a great effect.
It is an amazing theatre.
Absolutely.
It really is.
So, and we're very lucky to have it. It's very quirky, cookie and unique. So
yes.
Yeah, that's some of my winter.
Thank you. Nathan, what have you got planned?
We've got behind the scene tours going on throughout December, and then whatever Andy throws my way as well.
Yeah, we'll just have a sit down with a nice hot chocolate. We've worked hard this year.
With a long list of things to do.
The close season is such a short period of time, and people don't realise it. Like you say, it's actually a very busy period of time, because it's a great planning time, and we do a lot of work to make sure that when our ride operators and our team come back, that they are the training that we deliver, all the safety stuff that we go through, all the process processes, you know, the guest service training, all of that stuff is delivered, and it all ultimately makes for the guest experience. And so we treat that aspect very seriously, so that when people come here, they get the fun aspect that we want them to.
Have you got some dates on the top of your head, or am I putting you on the spot?
You're putting me on the spot, but we are open for... Actually, we didn't mention, but the one thing we... You know, Nickelodeon Land is open for February half term.
Yes.
And so that, you know, for operationally, actually, it makes things a bit easier because it's a bit more staggered, not so much for engineering and so on. But you know, that's cool because that's something to, you know, if people are looking for stuff to do in February half term, then Nickelodeon's a great little... it's great to come and visit and ride the rides. I think Wallace and Gromit's also open for that as well, so you can see all the new stuff in there. And obviously then we go into March and we open for the new season.
It'll be here before you know it. It really will. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us an insight into the 2025 season. It has been an astounding season. And the weather was on our side, wasn't it?
It certainly was. In August it was. Yes.
Not so much now.
Have a fantastic winter. And that's it from this edition of Studio 525's podcast. See you next time.